What's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie? It's getting warm up there, getting up into the 60s, and even thinking about getting up into the 70s, so it's been very, very pleasant. And no snow fell this last week. We have had snow in May, and it really upsets some people when this happens. You have to talk them down off the ledge, but I'm not bent out of shape by odd, absurd things that happen. I saw a snowfall once on the 4th of July in Lake Wobegon. It fell during a 4th of July picnic. And other people said it was fluff from cottonwood trees. But fluff does not melt in your hand. It does not. Take it from me. I am the only person who was there that day out of hundreds of people who knows that that was snow. Snow fell on the 4th. There was a little chill, and it came down out of the sky, just a little bit of it, and then it was gone. It was a remarkable, remarkable thing. I remember it so well. If you were interested, I'd tell you more, but you're not. I've seen a lot of things. I once saw a man go straight up into the air. It was an amazing thing. It happened on the 1st of May, this big celebration they used to have, not sponsored by anybody because it was disreputable, but the 1st of May celebration. He went straight up in the air. He was holding on. He had his wrist wrapped around a helium weather balloon, and in his other hand, he was carrying a sharp stick. And he had made a bet with his brother. His brother had bet him that it would not lift him up into the air, and they'd bet $100. And there he was. He was going up through the air, and people tried to grab at his legs, and he was gone. He was up above the tree line. This was all on the 1st of May, part of this drunken riot celebration in Lake Wobegon. They don't do that anymore. Back there, the 1st of May, they used to say, the 1st of May, say whatever you want to say, a day of dancing and drinking and laughter and all forgotten the morning after. And and that's when this happened. He went up. He weighed about 140 pounds, I would say, and he was up about 100 feet. He was up 150 feet, and he looked like he was regretting this. That he was not going to get to collect on the $100 that he had won by being able to do what he now was doing and going up into the air. And we were watching aghast, and then a shot rang out, and it was his mother in an upstairs bedroom who had never been known to ever fire a rifle before in her life. We assumed she was firing at the balloon because that's what she hit. And she hit the balloon, and it started to descend. And he came, and she came down. And she, the mother, came running out of the house, and she ran up to him, and she said, "Ernie, you are dumb enough to be twins." And he had just been to the Wonton Cafe that very morning, and he'd gotten a fortune cookie that said, "You are on the verge of a life-changing experience." And as he was going up, he thought maybe this was the life-changing experience, death, in other words. But he came down, and he felt elated at his own survival. And so he married the very next week a girl he had only gone out with twice. And she was okay. She turned out to be a fabulous cook. And within 2 years, he was more than double his bachelor weight. He was 355 pounds. And so helium balloons held no fear for him whatsoever. I saw all of that. It was something I will always remember, that look of panic and elation on that man's face at the very same time as he rose swiftly from our midst and went on up into the air. No, the 1st of May, that used to be a big thing, and people would get drunk, and they would go to parties, other people's houses, and they would dance and dance and on late into the night, and it was raucous and it was tasteless. You would go out of curiosity, you know. Because you want to have a lot of experiences in your life, young people, because good judgment is based on experience, much of which is gained from poor judgment. We learn from our mistakes. You don't want to become an expert too soon, but we learn from these things. There are many cautious men who grow up having avoided experience, and they come to what we would consider to be their maturity, and they do incredibly stupid things that any 14-year-old boy would know not to do because they never made the mistakes they needed to make. Think about that for a moment while I try to think of what I was going to say next. I went to the junior-senior prom when I was 18 years old, and I will always remember that. Now, it was nothing like it is today, because nowadays, you know, the boys get dressed up in fancy tuxedos, and their shoes are shiny, and their hair is polished, and girls in these flouncy, expensive, strapless dresses, and they're all out there laughing and flirting with each other. And back then, we just wore, you know, whatever we had to wear, whatever we found in our older brother's closet, you know, and we wore his sport coat and wore a pair of tan pants and some moccasins and a white shirt and a clip-on bow tie and we went, and girls similarly, just, you know, whatever you could get out of your mother's closet, and we went to the gym, the high school gym. Nowadays they get on a luxury bus and they go down to a big city and they go out to a very swanky restaurant, and then they go over to a hotel ballroom and they dance and then they go off to an all-night party, which is lightly chaperoned. And back in the day, we went to the high school gym, and then we hoped we would be invited to somebody's party. My people did not put on parties because they were like your people. And so if you were evangelical, you hoped to be invited to somebody else's, like the Bunsens. They had this beautiful big log cabin out on the lake where the grandparents lived, but the grandparents were very sound sleepers. And so you hope to go out there. There had been rumors of bad behavior late at night out at the Bunsen's cabin. I did not have a date for the prom. I was hoping that Donna Bunsen would be my date, but there were other boys who were hoping the same thing because there were rumors about Donna Bunsen, and we were hoping to exercise bad judgment that night. So none of us actually dated her. But I was invited to the party. There were four boys, and there were four girls, and we went out there. It was about midnight, and I guess there was some beer. I didn't need any of that. You know, I was high on life. And the girls went into the cabin to get changed out of their prom dresses, and the boys were out on the beach piling up wood for a bonfire, and they were so excited, so incredibly excited, because there had been suggestions of skinny dipping would follow, and that we would all be naked together in the water. Mind you, this was the first week of May. Nonetheless, the power of lust, the idea that we would all be naked together. You see, back in the day, young people, we did not have the advantage of these excellent pictorial magazines that you have nowadays, and so we knew nothing whatsoever of nakedness. We hardly knew anything about our own, but so we were hoping to learn something at this, and then the girls came out. We had the bonfire going, and the girls came out, and they were wearing bathrobes. And they looked at the boys, and they said, "So, come on, What are you waiting for? Take off your clothes. The boys did. The power, the excitement, they took off their clothes. I did not. Because I'd had a lot of meatballs at school, and also I had drunk my first vodka sour, and I wasn't sure how that was going to turn out. And so I just sort of leaked off into the woods a little ways and watched from there. The boys all took off their clothes, and they walked slowly into the water. It was very cold. There was a lot of shuddering and whimpering, and they stood out there in water slightly above their waists, and they looked at the girls who were sitting by the bonfire. And the girls were laughing and laughing. They collected the boys' clothes, and they put them in a pile, and they sat on them. And the boys were pleading, "Oh, you promised! You promised! A promise is a promise! Come on! You can't lie to us! Come on!" Eventually, they had to come in. They tiptoed in towards the bonfire and up onto the beach. And the girls made them kneel in the sand and ask, "Please, pretty please," with a cherry on top for their clothes. And they tossed them their underwear. Meanwhile, Donna Bunsen had gone around the cabin on the other side, and she'd gone to the outhouse, and she was knocking on the door, which she could not open. There was nobody in the outhouse. I had locked the door myself. It was easy to do from the outside. You just slip your little finger in through a knothole, and you slide the lock in, and she could have unlocked it herself, but she wasn't thinking about it. She was very urgent about this outhouse, and she was yelling at somebody to get out of it, and the door did not open of its own volition. And so she walked over towards where I was, and about 10 feet away from me, she squatted down, and she lifted up her bathrobe, and this flood of water came out of her. I was just really astonished. Didn't know anybody could hold that much. And I said, "Boy, I never saw a girl pee before." Which was the truth, but she just leaped up. She screeched out, and she ran into the cabin, and she wouldn't talk to me for a long time. And she just was so bent out of shape about this. I mean, I went back to my 50th high school reunion last year, and she still was kind of chilly with me. She'd moved out to Los Angeles. I hope not because of that, but she moved out to L.A., and I guess that in L.A. you probably are able to protect yourself and lead a more insulated life and protect yourself from that sort of adventure that you're not looking for. In a small town, we found them. We found, especially on the 1st of May, we found them. The 1st of May celebration, which has dwindled in Lake Wobegon because it thrived on disapproval. And when those strict people, those Haugian Lutherans, the low church branch of Lutherans, the evangelical, fervent Lutherans, the people who believed in ferocious preaching to keep us in line because we've all sinned and we're all unworthy, when they started to fade away, May Day started to lose its purpose, you see. And they were succeeded by the high church Lutherans, the old Norwegian Synod, who believed in baptizing infants and you confirmation and you say your prayers and Jesus died for our sins and it's taken care of, so don't worry about it, and come when you can and bring pastries when you're supposed to and it's not a big deal. Those people became the dominant Lutherans in our town, the more liberal, you might say, Lutherans. And so May Day lost its purpose when people no longer condemned this as sinful, but only looked on it as an unwise lifestyle choice. There was no fun in it anymore. There was no reason to do it anymore. I feel sad about that in a way, but still it was a big experience, you know? And you need these. As you get older, young people, as you get older and you lose your hearing and your eyesight goes and you become barely mobile and your memory fades and you can't remember the starting lineup of your own ball club, and still you look back on your life and there are these mountains back there that are permanently memorable. You want those. You want those. Don't regret them. It's a memory. You hold on to it. The memory of naked boys coming in out of the water towards a bonfire, whimpering, and girls laughing and laughing and laughing is a permanent memory. This show is so sedate nowadays compared to the way it used to be. In the early days, we would be up on stage in front of a hard-drinking audience, and people would be throwing beer bottles up at us, and we'd have to catch them. We would throw them back, and it's very hard to do that and still be singing, "O Come Angel Band, Come and Around Me Stand," you know, "Bear Me Away on Your Snowy White Wings to My Eternal Home." But still, there are old people my age who come up to me nowadays and remember those old early days of the show when there were fights breaking out in the audience and people dancing in their underwear. And they remember those. They remember those. They stand out. Don't regret your life. Live your life. Live your life. You can't regret anything that's happened that brought you to the point where you are. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, all the children are above average.